listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Bickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Nearly a third of kids in Wisconsin are overweight or obese. While some data show the rate of childhood obesity stabilizing, other reports paint a grim picture. According to the Trust for America's Health, the adult obesity rate in Wisconsin could hit 56% by 2030. Already 67% now are overweight or obese.
While creating policies to combat obesity may be complicated with many factors at play, there is one everyday place where the government does actually set guidelines for nutrition: public schools. And in 2010, Congress passed the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act, aimed at creating stricter guidelines for school food.
That law is set to expire at the end of the month. It's up to Congress to decide whether or not to reauthorize it. As kids head back to school, we want to hear from you. Are you satisfied with the food, the nutrition at your local schools? Is it healthy? Do the kids actually eat it? Does your local school have a contract with a soda company? Does it serve fast food? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Cassandra Vanderwall joins us now. She's a clinical nutritionist at UW Health. Cassandra, thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
So when we look at the childhood obesity rates here in Wisconsin, what do we know? What does the data tell us about where that's headed?
At present, when we look at cross-sectional prevalence data, we can only look at certain cut points. But if we look back over the last few years, we see that it's relatively stable. So since 2011, rates for children 2 to 4 years old from lower-income families around 14% are obese. For 10 to 17-year-olds, around 13, and for high school students, around just shy of 12%.
So we've stabilized that number, it sounds like, but that's not necessarily good news. The numbers, I assume, are a little higher than we'd like.
You're exactly right. And any number is too high. It's important to note that that's not just the overweight category, but that's the obese category. Those are kids that, if we looked at their BMI for age growth charts, they would be above the 95th percentile.
Well, let's visit the school lunchroom. How much of a difference maker can a school's nutrition program, lunch program, be for kids?
I personally believe that it can be a huge difference maker on two fronts. The first one is lunch can contribute the majority of a child's calories and nutrition for that day. And number two, kids are in learning mode when they're at school, so it can be a great educational opportunity to introduce new foods and new ways to eat those foods.
And we mentioned that we're under recently passed federal laws that that changed what happens in schools, the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act. What was the thinking that went into that change?
The thinking was to improve the quality and address the quantity of school food. So behind that, we're looking at the Dietary Guidelines for Americans that were published in 2010 and were just revisited now this year in 2015, that were looking at certain nutrients. So they were looking at added sugar. They were looking at fiber. They were looking at sodium or salt, and then the big vitamins that kids tend to not get enough of, like vitamin A or iron and calcium.
And this is hunger-free, too. Part of this is to make sure kids are getting enough food, at least in one meal a day.
Exactly. We have to look at the whole gambit. When a school is trying to provide a safe environment, a healthy environment, they can't look at one child's needs. They have to look at all of their children. And we know that children of lower socioeconomic status are at greater risk for overweight and obesity, but also are at greater risk for hunger.
The picture that was painted when this law was passed was that there was a lot of junk food of various sorts in schools. Soda on the one hand, French fries, things like that, common on the other. Was that the reality? Was there a lot of food that didn't necessarily add up to good health in school lunches?
There were, and it wasn't necessarily always French fries and pizza and things that we would think of, but some other foods that were perhaps just being prepared in an unhealthy manner that were causing, for example, salt intake and fat intake to exceed recommendations, as well as calories for younger children, especially between kindergarten and sixth grade.
Talking to UW Health nutritionist Cassandra Vanderwall about health and school lunches. Is the food being served in schools healthy? Is it being served to kids? Are they getting the stuff they need? You can share your thoughts, what's happening in your district as we go back to school at 800-642-1234. And Cassandra, since this law passed and this part of it went into effect, improving the quality of food in schools, there's been some pushback. Kids not wanting to eat the stuff, a lot of waste, parents unhappy, some school districts saying, hey, we'll stop taking the federal money and set our own menus because we're not getting kids to eat this stuff. How big a problem is that?
Yeah, so there's pushback from everyone. There's pushback from children, especially older children, that recognized, hey, my portions are way smaller than what I was getting. And younger children that may not have access to fruit and vegetables at home or may be opposed to eating those, that are simply just skipping that part of their meal and therefore they're hungry. Some individuals simply don't want to be told what to eat and therefore have a problem with these regulations. So there's pushback from all across the board. And then we look at the schools who, again, are trying to do the best they can. And there's often increased costs that need to be incurred to provide these healthier foods.
So it takes more, it sounds like, than just putting the healthy food in there and taking the bad food out. What has to happen to sell the good stuff to the kids and the parents and to get them to buy in this kind of change?
I think, personally, again, that we need to show parents, as well as schools, as well as teachers, the research behind good nutrition and learning. Everybody is focused on test scores and academic success, but we know that from our research, again, that children that eat well, they really do learn well. That's one of the reasons that schools initiated a school breakfast program, because kids were skipping breakfast and they were in a slump early in the morning. Kids that are provided breakfast tend to do better and behave better in school.
We'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Corey is on the line in Whitehall. Corey, hi.
Hello.
Oh, what'd you want to bring up, Corey?
I wanted to bring up the lunch program, what you're talking about. I want to know what the view is on how about the kids that are playing sports. Because I got two teenage boys that play sports, and they come home and they're just famished because they don't get enough to eat at lunch.
So, and do they get a school lunch sometimes, the full
yep.
Menu, and they're saying, hey, there's not enough on the tray?
There is not near enough on that menu.
Corey,
you know, for the little guys, it's probably good, but them bigger kids, there's not near enough on that menu to feed them guys.
Corey, thanks a lot for the call. And Cassandra, I've seen this argument in comments on articles about this at the national level that cutting calories, all well and good, but these student athletes not getting enough food to keep them going at practice after school.
Yeah, it is an issue. I mean, that is probably the subpopulation that could benefit from more nutrition, more calories. The average meal for a 9th to 12th grader or a teenage boy is probably around 850 calories. So if we look at their total needs being near 3,000, it's pretty close to a third of what they need, almost even a quarter. So that we bounce it back again to the parents, to the home, to the responsibility on the child, that if they are still hungry, grab a healthy snack, bring something from home to supplement it.
Thanks for the call, Corey. We'll go next to Andrew in La Crosse. Andrew, hi.
Hello. I work in a shopping center right next to high school here in La Crosse. And how the kids always come over and eat over here just because they say that new food is, well, high school food in general isn't that great, but they say it's gotten actually atrocious since they changed all the rules. And I'll just take my comment
so,
off.
Before you go, Andrew, fast food restaurants at your shopping center there?
Yes, we've actually got four of them, and two of them are the big chains, too, but they're always packed whenever the kids are at their lunchtime or their break times. They're always packed with kids coming over from the school.
Andrew, thanks for the call. So, Cassandra, he's saying, at least for what he's seeing next door to a school there, the school lunches, the more nutritious school lunches, are turning the kids away, sending them to fast food places. So is there a way that these programs can meet kids halfway, make the food a little more entertaining while still having a little less salt, a little less sugar?
Certainly, I think so. I think people want to be a part of change. They want to have a choice. So I think it all depends on how the schools and the districts and even the government roll programs like this out. Having meetings and that welcome student feedback and welcoming students into the kitchens, perhaps, of schools and helping them to construct the menus, I think would go a very long way. It's like when you're trying to feed a young child or a toddler. They want choice. They want to have an option. And I think by giving families and children and students more of a voice in the process, they may be able to be may open the door to more accepting students.
Have you seen schools around the state maybe do a good job of this, even if not exactly that procedure, that they've brought in healthy foods and gotten buy-in from the students eating them?
I think so. I mean, from my experience, it's the schools that have strong parent programs, strong wellness committees, that have a voice that make a voice for themselves within the school and get involved. And schools are willing, I think, to meet people halfway and to at least listen to the concerns and questions.
We're talking to Cassandra Vanderwall, clinical nutritionist at UW Health, looking at nutrition in Wisconsin school lunches.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is the food served at your local school healthy, and are there options available? If it isn't healthy, what do you think should be done about it? And does your local school make soda or fast food available? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation with Cassandra Vanderwall, clinical nutritionist at UW Health, about nutrition in Wisconsin schools as kids head back. Also, at the end of the month, the 2010 Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act is up for reauthorization.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is on the trays at your kids' school? Is it healthy stuff? Are they getting enough to eat? If you work in the schools, especially if you work in food service, are you seeing kids make the switch, eating the newer required healthy foods, or is it ending up in the garbage? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to a caller. We've got Michelle on the line in Racine. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. For my son, we put money into an account and then he can get as much as he wants for lunch. And he was telling me that he likes the whole wheat, the sugar cookies, and the whole wheat wraps. So I tried to make the whole wheat sugar cookies at home, and he goes, "Oh, Mom, they're different." So I keep trying. But so he likes all the healthy food, but that might be just him. But
okay. Well, so there's one convert there, and better than Mom makes in this case. No offense, Michelle, but good luck replicating that. Cassandra, is this something that maybe we're reacting now, where some schools are revolting, but if we gave it time and over years, kids would get used to this food and maybe this wouldn't be such a hullabaloo?
I think so. I definitely think so. I think perception and attitude all comes with kind of the buzz and the social media surrounding something big like this. It's kind of that gang mentality. If someone's angry, why not be angry with them? I also think that as a culture, we're trying our best to eat healthier. More people are exploring whole grains at home. More people are understanding the importance of eating well, and therefore it's starting at home. So I think if we gave it time and let it run its course and, again, touched base with families to hear their voices, I think people would become more accepting.
Thanks a lot for that call. Michelle, we'll go to Kathy in Appleton now. Kathy, hi.
Hi there. I served as a parent rep with the school district for a couple years, several years ago, to try to revamp the school lunch, make it healthier, more palatable. And a couple comments is, first, the kids get the message that the parents are giving. So when you have parents complaining, you know, why are they changing things, the kids hear that. And when kids try something new, you know, I mean, it does take time. It's not immediate. As a taxpayer, I prefer them having the healthier food, because if they're getting breakfast and it's sugar, and then they're crashing mid-morning from the syrup on the French toast sticks, you know, that affects the whole classroom. Or if they're getting a sugar high as a result of that. And then it also affects our healthcare costs. If kids are getting unhealthy food in the schools, it does affect our healthcare costs. And so, you know, we need to send a good message to our kids to eat healthier.
Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. She's backing up some of the points you'd made already, Cassandra. But that idea that maybe this is an investment in long-term healthcare costs, what do you make of that?
I agree entirely. I think if we have to look at the long-term implications of eating unhealthy, I think we have to look that 15 to 20% of our children are obese, and even more are overweight and at risk of becoming obese, and that all taxes our health care system.
Thanks a lot for the call, Kathy. We've got an email from Christian in Racine who writes, I'm a food service manager in high school. I applaud the efforts to make the food healthier, but there's not enough support from families to support that effort. The students don't recognize the benefits of whole nutritious foods. Christian goes on, I'm also a chef. It's horrible that we don't make the food anymore. Rather, the USDA subsidy program almost forces us to purchase pre-processed products. So let's get into that second point that Christian raises. You mentioned going into the kitchen, Cassandra. Well, the kitchen, maybe in a lot of cases, is just warming up prepackaged foods.
It is, unfortunately, and that may be a decision that starts at the top, but I think it's another financial decision. It cuts down on labor costs and the skill of the labor, but it also influences the appeal of the food. It's more microwavable, reheatable foods that I think children recognize. You know, whole grains are hard enough to get kids to like because it has a different texture than their refined white products. But if it's reheated and chewy and maybe not the right temperature, it's of course going to be denied. Who wouldn't deny it?
Talking to Cassandra Vanderwall, clinical nutritionist at UW Health, about healthy and nutritious school lunch programs. Back to our callers now at 800-642-1234 with Darlene in Oconomowoc. Darlene, hi.
Hi. I think, well, like the president's wife started the garden and that. You need to have agriculture brought back in. Your 4-H kids used to we all did this. And then you have the children make something out of the three, and they make their own recipes, like the summer programs has helped a lot, too. And they will like what they make.
Darlene, thanks a lot for the call. Get kids, she says, involved, not just in picking the food and eating the food, but growing the food themselves. Have schools been experimenting with that, Cassandra?
Yes, actually, the Farm to School Initiative is something that the state of Wisconsin has signed on to. And as part of that, there are a lot of grants that have come about to support salad bars in schools. And salad bars, again, get kids involved because there's choice. It's kind of a buffet style. They can go up, they can look, they can see what everybody else is eating, and they can build their own salad. So I completely agree with our last caller that kids need a choice. They need an opportunity to experiment and to buy into the process.
These kind of initiatives take some creativity. They happen at the local level. Is this something that's hard to encourage with a federal initiative that might be looking for a one-size-fits-all solution?
I think so. I think we have to get creative if we want to apply it to individuals. But also, we have to put the onus back on the individuals and families to make it their own.
And you've mentioned family involvement, and you mentioned providing healthy snacks to kids at school. So even before they head out the door, what kind of things are easy for parents to send along so that in addition to or instead of that school lunch, they're getting something healthy that, again, they'll actually eat?
Sure, something that's going to be sustainable energy for them, and thinking about composition, how it's put together. Generally, for healthy snacks, we're looking for an energy source that lasts longer, so some kind of carbohydrate, like a piece of fruit or a whole grain cracker or whole wheat bread, and then a protein or a healthy fat. Proteins could be lunch meat. Maybe you pack them a half a sandwich, or some healthy fats from peanut butter or sun butter if you're in a nut-free zone. So I think we just have to think about something that's going to be sustainable, lasting energy, and at least two food groups that work together.
Back to a caller. Erin is with us in Arena. Hi, Erin.
Hi. I am really an advocate of going back to having the food prepared at the schools. You don't have the worry of having high fructose corn syrup. Also, she just mentioned lunch meat. Lunch meats are full of nitrates. That's terrible stuff to have. I grew up with school meals prepared by a cook, and the waste was minimal. You do not have that same effect going on today in the schools, and I will take my comment off the air.
Erin, thanks for the call. That sounds like it could be a budget difficulty, Cassandra, but apart from that, do you think kitchens, cooks in the schools could make a difference in this front?
I think it does. Again, I've seen several schools that have decided to go that route. They purchase the equipment, they hire the staff, they monitor the workforce, and they have a better product. We know that a home-cooked meal is better than a microwavable meal any day.
And this time of year, do you get a lot of calls from people like us in the media, parents, saying, hey, we want to start this school year off on a healthy note?
Always. Everybody's always looking for some tips and tricks to make this year healthier than the last.
And are we doing a good job of that, this federal initiative, what schools are trying to do, what parents are trying to do? Do you see us improving when it comes to kids' nutrition?
I think we're doing a good job of spreading the message and educating. I know that across Wisconsin, specifically in Dane County, there are a lot of collaboratives of healthcare workers that are trying to get together and share a consistent message, one of those being the 5-2-1-0 habits, 5 fruits and vegetables a day, less than 2 hours of screen time, 1 hour of exercise, and 0 sugar sweetened beverages. So I think in that sense, we're doing a really good job of coming together for a collective impact.
Yeah.
I also think a good indicator is that the obesity prevalence is stable. So maybe we are making an impact, but now we would love to see that trend decrease and to get kids healthier.
Cassandra, thanks a lot for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Cassandra Vanderwall. She's a clinical nutritionist at UW Health. She's been talking about nutrition and food programs in Wisconsin schools as kids head back to classes around the state.